Welcome back to The Wise Man's Page, the daily podcast where we read a page of The Wise Man's Fear and then we talk about it. This is page 272, My Balance, and tumbled to the ground. He hardly seemed to notice. Well, he said seriously, I certainly don't feel up to that right now. Stonebridge rose ahead of us, 200 feet from end to end, with a high arch that peaked 5 stories above the river. It was part of the Great Stone Road, straight as a nail, flat as a table, and older than God. I knew it weighed more than a mountain. I knew it had a 3-foot parapet running along both its edges. Despite all this knowing, I felt deeply uneasy at the thought of trying to cross it. I climbed unsteadily to my feet. As the three of us examined the bridge, Willem began to lean slowly to one side. I reached out to steady him, and at the same time, Simon laid hold of my arm, though whether to help me or brace himself, I couldn't be certain. I certainly don't feel up to that right now, Simon repeated.
There's a place to sit over here, Willem said. Kele trele turin navorka.
Simon and I muffled our laughter, and Willem led us through the trees to a little clearing not 50 feet from the foot of the bridge. To my surprise, a tall gray stone stood at the middle of it, pointing skyward. Will entered the clearing with calm familiarity. I came more slowly, looking about curiously. Greystones are special to troopers, and seeing it gave rise to mixed feelings. Simon flopped down in the thick grass while Willem settled his back against the trunk of a leaning birch. I moved to the greystone and touched it with my fingertips. It was warm and familiar.
Don't push at that thing, Simon said nervously. You'll tip it over.
I laughed. This stone has been here for 1,000 years, Sim. I don't think my breathing on it is going to hurt it.
Just come away from it. They're not good things.
It's a greystone, I said, giving it a friendly pat. They mark old roads. If anything, we're safer being next to it. Greystones mark safe places. Everyone knows that. Sim shook his head stubbornly.
They're pagan relics.
A jot says I'm right, I taunted.
Ha!
Still on his back, Sim held up a hand. I stepped over to slap it, formalizing our wager.
We can go to the archives and settle it tomorrow, Sim said.
I sat down next to the greystone and had just started to relax when I was seized by a sudden panic. Body of God, I said. My loot! I tried to jump to my feet and failed, almost managing to knock out my brains against the greystone in the process. That's the page. I'm Nick.
I'm Jordana.
I'm Jeremy. I love this passage so much. It's so funny. It's so, like, heartwarming and delightful. It's just three friends out on the piss. They're coming home from having a good night, riffing with each other. They're ribbing each other. It's just beautiful.
It is funny.
It feels very honest. It feels very real.
And, like, Rothfuss also, like, understands how to write good comedy. He set up the notion that Quoth has forgot his loot, and now he's done it again, and then we find out that he keeps doing it. Which is also very relatable to me. Like, that also tells us that he's really, really drunk, because that is something that, like, you do when you're really, really drunk. They're also drunk that they're, like, weaving back and forth across the road, and they're, like, not really sure that they can make it over this bridge. And so they like, go off to, like, sit down for a while and, like, sober up a little bit, which is good sense for a drunk. I feel like Willem is a little less drunk than the two of them. I think he can hold his liquor better.
I like that when Quoth was swaying and losing his balance, he assumed that what he was seeing was actually Will losing his balance instead of Quoth losing his balance.
Something like that. The sense I get is that Will is just as drunk as they are. He's just a more stoic character.
Yeah, maybe he just doesn't show it as much.
Yeah, exactly.
In amongst just this delightful, like, cozy time with our friends, we also get some interesting characterization. We're reminded that greystones exist and that the Ademara and troopers feel a certain way about them because they're, like, safe places to rest on the road. And Quoth just assumes that everybody knows that. But clearly, Simon has learned a different tradition, and he is, like, superstitious and wary of them. I don't think Quoth quite, because he's drunk, I don't think he understands that Simon is coming from, like, a different belief system. I think he just thinks that Simon thinks he learned something in a book and that it's wrong.
Well, I think it's funny that they both seem to think that this is something that can be settled in a book and is not just a difference of cultural heritage. I mean, I'm sure that there is a right answer, and I'm sure that magic is the answer, that somewhere there is, in fact, that the greystones have a magical significance, and we'll probably learn it in the story, but I don't think it'll be in the archives.
Well, and, like, this might be a clue to, like, a larger world-building mystery, right? If Most of civilization, as represented by Simon, believes that the Greystones are dangerous and to be avoided, but troopers and performers feel like they are safe places to rest along the road, then maybe that ties into the Chandrian being afraid of singers, singers having some kind of secret knowledge about the world.
Mm-hmm. Or stories having a power.
Also, if you are a group of troopers and you want somewhere to stop along the road, you don't really want to stop where everyone else feels safe. So your safe spot is actually the opposite of everyone else's. Right?
That's a really good point, yeah. That, like, you can be sure that you won't be bothered if you're staying near some place that other people stay away from.
Well, especially if you're, like, not just troopers, but Edema Ruh, right? Like, if you are a persecuted minority, that's a good point.
And this whole sequence is to set up the story in a story that we're told in the next chapter, which is, in turn, to set up the various, the call and response, the way that the Edema Ruh treat their family, the things that are unique among all Edema Ruh that Quoth eventually uses to test the fake Edema Ruh. So they need to have a conversation about the Greystones to lead to a conversation about the Edema Ruh to lead to this story in a story.
That's a great example of doing exposition in a way that doesn't feel obtrusive, because the primary purpose of this scene, I think, is to show Quoth and Willem and Simon like being friends and having a good time. But it is also doing the work of giving us, the reader, some information in an entertaining way, because Quoth is like having this conversation with his friends. But then when that information becomes important later, Rothfuss doesn't have to set it up then. He's already set it up 300 pages ago.
I wonder if this Jot bet will come into play later. If, you know, Quoth, after coming back haggard from an adventure where he actually does uncover the origin of the stones, if he will pay Simon or something like that, like as a gag. He'll think like I owe Simon a jot, something like that. You know,
that will be what we call a deep cut.
Yes,
it's possible.
We have a letter
mailbag
from Philippe again, who writes on the purpose of the gram in the story. Hello, pagers. Here I come again to stir the cracked pot. What is the purpose of the gram sequence? Just after finishing the gram, Quoth and the gang render it obsolete. Quoth makes peace with Devi and destroys the Mammoth, all without using the gram for nothing more than one night's sleep. And to make the gram even more useless, he loses it just after in the journey to Vintis. One other possible explanation is to teach Quoth how to make a gram so that he can make one for the mayor. To counter that argument, I would say that the mayor's gram is also useless as of yet. Quoth only makes the mayor's gram after Caudicus leaves the court, and before the gram sees any use, Caudicus is killed and Quoth leaves Vintis. The only possible explanation for the gram sequence is to leave the mayor with a gram that will have some use in the next book. Caudicus couldn't have made him one, as he was trying to assassinate him after all, and the mayor wouldn't trust any Arcanist to do it, to do another one after. He was betrayed by the only two Arcanists he ever trusted. So my conclusion is that the gram sequence was a write-around for Rothfuss. The mayor needed a gram for the third book without having one in the beginning of the second. What do you guys think? Too much of a stretch? Discuss, please. Thanks for the podcast. Kind regards, Philippe.
I don't think that's a stretch. I think that's perfectly reasonable.
I think so too. And I also think that you've covered it in this letter, Philippe, that Quoth also needs to know how to make one, probably for some upcoming piece of sympathy. So I think it's twofold. It's one or the other or both.
Question.
Nice hedge.
Thank.
Yes, Jordana.
Could a gram protect you from the Seetha?
Good question.
I don't think we have any idea what kind of power the Seetha have, so who knows?
I mean, Bass says that they usually shoot arrows. Like, they're supposed to be hanging around the Cathaya shooting arrows at people who come at it, right? So I think they're sort of a physical murder. Rather, their murder is physical in nature. But
it does seem like something
knows?
A gram could protect against.
Arrows?
Yeah. No?
The gram is a sympathetic protection. It stops sympathy.
Yeah, but I feel like it'd like warn you or something. No? Okay, fine. I was thinking like it might have like an ill intent meter.
No, I think it just counteracts sympathy aimed at your body.
Okay.
My impression of the different magic systems is that they don't super duper interact. Like, I think naming and sympathy are not really related. Who knows? Could you protect yourself from naming with gram? Mm.
Who knows?
Who knows anything?
Yeah, I think it's like psionics and magic in D&D 3rd edition. Like, they don't really mix or interact. Detect magic doesn't detect psionics, and vice versa.
What are psionics?
mind powers.
Oh, Jordana, I have such wonders to show you.
I'm going to take up the next 8 minutes of this episode talking about psionics and how their mind powers and using psi points instead of like having a spell book that you cast spells from is way more fun and cool.
What was really fun and cool was in first edition, every single character at character creation would roll on the psionics table and had a 1% chance to be psionic on top of everything else.
Mm. Yeah, because it was just like you might be like a psychic mutant freak.
Exactly. So you would be, you know, a wizard or whatever with all the levels, but you'd also have all this other crap tacked on.
Nice.
With your psionics.
Yeah. I also like in third edition or maybe 3.5, the way to keep your like first level psi powers relevant is that you can like spend more points to boost them and make them more powerful. So all even though you have a very limited bank of powers to draw from, you can keep them like relevant and powerful, which I think is really clever.
Mm-hmm. I think that a point buy system is not the most elegant way of doing it, but it's descended from the point by system in the first edition, so
I'm almost sorry I asked.
You are, yeah. Well, it's too late now. You dug your own grave here, Jordana. See, I disagree. I think that having just a pool of mana from which you can cast all your powers, and the more points you spend, the more powerful your powers get, is awesome. Like, I love it.
I mean, it's better than a lot of things. I just think there's a more elegant way of creating a game system, a game mechanic.
Well, sure, but maybe elegance isn't the point.
I mean, it should be.
Maybe psionics and mana are not the point on this podcast, and we should move on.
You like Dungeon World more than D&D because Dungeon World is more elegant.
No, I don't like it because it's more elegant. I like it because it facilitates the kind of role-playing that I like to do. One of the things I'm annoyed about by it is that I can't play a Scion. And
I mean, you can just reskin one of the...
No, but that's boring. I don't want to reskin it. I want it to feel different. I want to be able to spend power points to use psychic powers. That is a mechanic that I really enjoy.
Okay, Jeremy.
That's right.
Great.
Okay,
well, this
me.
This conversation is riveting. I'm sorry I asked, and let's move on.
You should
the only
be
riveting that's going to happen is me shooting rivets into Jeremy's body.
On tomorrow's page.
Of
the
Whee! Whee!